Hi and welcome to Healthy Life Hacks. I'm Jennifer Jeffries, the present day wise woman, a realistic naturopath coming to you from the surfing beaches of Australia. This podcast is for those of you who are wanting to really rock your life and health and live from a place of prevention. Let's get into today's episode. Work-related stress has been said to be the disease of the 20th century. That's said by the World Health Organization. And it's absolutely so real. Back in my 20s, I worked and played far too hard and I burned out my adrenal glands. And I went back to school, studied to be a naturopath and put all of my work into not just how to dig me out of a hole, although I had a naturopath at the time who absolutely helped me. However, I focused on how then to be able to live from a place of prevention and not go down that same crazy hole again. And my Seven Steps to Sanity book came out of what I did, just the bottom line bullet points, what I did and how I've lived for the last, 30 odd years to stay well. Now, this podcast is all about the Seven Steps to Sanity. I'm going to dive deep on the Seven Steps to Sanity. So let's go. Okay, so to get started, I want to ask you to just think about these. Just think about these questions and tell me if you're like, yes, or like, nah. I'll just think about these statements and do you really strongly agree or not, or kind of sort of in the middle. Here we go. I wake up feeling exhausted and I'm slow to get going in the morning. I experience aches and pains. I have broken sleep. I get headaches at least monthly. The last thing I really feel like doing in the morning is exercising. I wish I had a sex drive. My appetite is all over the place. I look for a glass of alcohol to wind down with after work. I eat my lunch at my desk. I feel flat. I'm tired and my coworkers and friends are constantly asking me and my family if I'm okay. I'm withdrawn and I don't want to be around others unless I have to be. I'm short-tempered and I get angry easily. I've forgotten how to laugh even at myself. I experience mood swings. I've lost interest in most things. I feel disillusioned about my job. The joy has gone out of my life. I find myself being more resigned and cynical and critical and sarcastic at work. So these are not the only signs of burnout, but they are some major ones that our bodies are giving us hints that we're off track. They're the kind of things that my body was telling me when I was off track and I wouldn't listen to it. I just wouldn't. I'm like, I actually remember my mum saying, Jen, can't you see what you're doing? I'm going, no, I'm good, mum. See, I've got it good. All good. I've got it right. It's like, no, Jen, you don't. You are so fucking drowning. Anyway, I had to reach that burnout part to be able to turn my life around. So I want to touch briefly on, and I go through this obviously a lot more in the book, but the bottom line thinking behind what I approach in this book is that we've got to look at things physically and emotionally. And that's because naturopathic philosophy is that there's always an emotional component to illness. And we say there's like this triangle of health. So the triangle of health, there's three points. First one is your attitudes and beliefs. And this is all the stuff we get from our parents, our family, our environment growing up. You know, if mum was an external expressor of stress, well, you know, you probably, you know, deal with stress the same kind of way. Or how we show up to life, we repeat. We do. We repeat until we grow up and then think, oh, I can do this a bit different. So that tends to always be part of the triangle. The second is a physical situation. This is the thing. If I'm walking down the street and someone sneezes in my face, the snot globules of goobers that come through the environment and come into contact with me, that would be considered the physical thing to help me get sick, okay? Or the situation, it can be like a stress at work. A stressful workplace works the same way. But then there's the emotional state. And the bottom line is if we can just be truly happy on the inside, all that physical stuff and circumstantial kind of stuff that we come in contact with won't tax us. It just won't tax us. The problem is we are emotional beings and we have to look at that emotional state as well. So the Seven Steps to Sanity is kind of a combination of some physical stuff and some emotional stuff. And I've, lived this path the last 30 odd years, and there's a lot more than this just is here. And are there more than seven steps to sender? Yes, but if I say, here's the 743 ways to stay well, you won't do anything. You won't do anything. So let's just start on the basics. Okay. The seven steps to sender, I'm just going to work through the bottom line on all of them, because this is an hours and hours of a lecture usually that I give into corporations around the world. But I just want to give you the good core basics, because what I know is if we do the core basics, 80% of life works properly. So here we go. The very first step to sanity is to respect yourself. Step one, respect yourself. If we don't start looking after us, self-care, all those things, learning to say no, if we don't be nice to us, how the hell can we even continue? How the hell can we expect other people to be nice to us too? And it's not about being nice, it's about respecting your time. We are important. And I see people going, yep, I'll do that, I'll do that, I'll do that. And then they give themselves a hard time for it. Well, that doesn't help anything. It really doesn't help anything. We all need to learn to say no. It's or and or own that we said yes. So if you choose to say yes, fucking own it, own it. So, yep, cool, got it, off I go. If you're going to say no, I mean, if you're going to say yes and then give yourself a hard time, guilt trip, well, that's worse than anything else you can do, because guilt moves our body physically, and negative emotions like guilt move our body physically out of the alkaline corridor faster than any crap food will. So this is just a reality. This is a reality check. How are you looking after you? Where are you placing yourself? And it doesn't matter if it's at work or partners or kids or just life. What do you do to look after you? Would you talk to someone else the way you talk to yourself? Ooh, that's a big one. So many people are so tough on themselves. I know I used to be like insane, insanely tough. It didn't help. We have to put the oxygen mask on us first. We have to look after us first. And I have found through all my experience working with thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people in clinic over the years and with health around the world, the place to start is to learn to say no, I can't do that. And what I know is that when we speak from our heart, we speak the truth. So someone you decide you're going to get, your shit together, so to speak. You're going to start looking after your health and eating properly and stuff. And people say, hey, do you want this candy or do you want this cake? You can go, no, thank you. I'm choosing to look after my health. Yeah, that's like a big concept. I remember when I gave up alcohol, I was a full-on alcoholic in my 20s and I got sober at 26. And I remember people would say, hey, do you want a drink? Because people only ever knew me to drink. And I just went, no, thanks, not drinking. And I'd have a soda water in a nice glass. That was it. It's about respecting yourself. Now, it might be that people dump stuff on you at work. Hey, do this. And you go, yay, because you think, ah, if I don't, I'm going to lose my job. I get it. I get it. However, you taking it on, giving yourself a hard time and doing a crap job about it because you're resentful, you didn't want to be doing it, it doesn't help the business. It doesn't help you. It doesn't help anything. So take a breath. When we take a breath, we can move from reacting to responding. Just a breath. That's all it needs to be. Start there. Take a breath and respond the way you truly want to versus, reacting and just going, yep. Now, if you'd still choose to say yes, great. Get that it's a choice and own it. Get your head around it so that it's not going to go taxing you. That's the bottom line on step one. Step two is feed your body. Now, there is so much in this. One, this is that I'm actually going to give you all. If you want, you can go to my website, www.jenniferjefferies.com, JenniferJefferies.com, and you can download the whole chapter from this book. Yes, you can for free. I've made it as an ebook just to make it simple for you. So go and download that. But I'm going to give you the high overview in this today. And is there more than what is in this chapter? Yes, to nutrition. But again, I want to give people the core basics. If we can get this right, the rest works. So when stressed, I surveyed some busy corporates and I found that when they were stressed, that 67% went to stimulants. And this is the baby boomers, my generation. We go to tea, coffee, alcohol, chocolate, things like that. They're all stimulants. Where the youngins, they're going to comfort foods. And the thing they're going to is, sadly, refined and processed carbs. And it's interesting that type 2 diabetes is through the roof, through the roof. And it's the younger ones where it is. It's just so bad. I don't know where these kids are going to be in another 20 years' time. You know, people who are in their 20s and that, the obesity is off the scale. And they're eating. When they're stressing out, they're going for refined and processed carbs. And when we're off track, like that, we're outside the alkaline corridor, we just keep craving more crap. We've got to do things to get back inside the alkaline corridor. And that's what everything in this book is about. When we're in the corridor, the majority of the time, we crave good food. Yes, we do. So, food. If you go to the show notes, which you get at www.healthylifehacks.com.au, that's where all of the show notes always are for every episode, right back to the start. If you go there, I've got the diagram which shows that the food triangle, we see it as a square. And you'll notice the thing around the outside of the square is water. The most important thing we do all day is have water. Our body's like 70, 80% water. So it's simple maths. We need 33 mil per kilo per day of water. Yes, we do. That's it. And that's water counts as water. Herb tea brewed for less, sorry, herb tea counts as water, and green tea brewed for less than a minute counts as water. Regular tea doesn't, scotch and ice doesn't, soft drink cordials, any of those kind of things, they don't. Water's water. That's it. And watch the ice. Okay, so I know I've got a lot of North Americans who listen to this, and they're big ice fiends. Ice just puts the fire out in your belly. And it stops you uptaking nutrients. So stop doing the ice. It's not going to help. The next one that we want to really, well, we've got the next one, we need good quality protein. And I've done podcasts on the fact that, you know, really, I'm 62, nearly 63. We're pretty much all women over 50, well and truly, should be aiming for at least 100 grams of protein a day. So go and check out that podcast and those show notes where I've got a whole list of your best sources of proteins and all about proteins. But we need good quality protein with each meal, and protein pacing is having a little bit of protein consistently through the day. It's not just sit down to a great big meal of protein at night. We need all the colors of our fruit and veg. We do. And it's been shown that to feed our gut microbiome, we want to be having at least 30 different fruit and veg every single week, preferably every day. Sadly, the statistic is that most people have about 10. That's a shocker. That's a shocker that they're doing that. And then that's why their immune systems attacks, they're bloated, their body just doesn't work. They're not having the variety of fruit and veg and legumes, nuts and seeds, things like that. So, and beans are great. So just think about really mixing it up. How can you get more, you know, little bits of more kind of foods in every single meal? That's gold to your overall digestive system health. We need good fats. We need good fats, and the good fats are more omega-3s. Majority of the population, sadly, well, we're meant to have about four parts good fats to one part crappy fats. Crappy fats are your saturated fats, so meat and dairy. Sadly, the Western population, it's 10 parts saturated fats to one part good fats. I know. It's not good. So the place that we see most people fall down is things like omega-3s. So omega-3s, I just make sure I have enough every day. I'm veggie, so I choose to do it this way, and that's that I'll have flaxseed oil every single day. Flaxseed oil is a beautiful source of omega-3 essential fatty acid. I make sure I've got avocado, nuts and seeds. They're from my omega-6s, omega-9s. I'll get from olive oil, those kind of things. However, I just want to touch on this too, is that a lot of people are having salmon for a source of omega-3 or taking salmon capsules. The state of farmed salmon in the world is scary. Scary, that's the best word for it. Really is scary. I would not touch a farmed piece of fish ever eating. They really seriously, and Australia at the moment, our farmed salmon. Yeah, it's Atlantic salmon, but and it's farmed down in Tasmania. The water is too warm. The fish are dying. They're full of bacteria and stuff. It's off the charts, unhealthy. Don't do it. And if you're going to buy a supplement of omega-3s, if you can't guarantee that it comes from a wild-caught krill or something like that, I would not be touching it. I'm very serious about that. the percentage of crappy fats that are in salmon, farmed salmon, it's just scary. And that's impact going to impact your health. So we need lots of the good fats. An easy way to do it is to bring flaxseed oil. And people go, Jen, I'll just put flaxseed in my granola. Yeah, guess what? You can't have enough flax seeds to get enough of the oil that you need. Get the oil. And omega-3s are really sensitive to over, well, they're sensitive to like heat and light, so you want to store them in the fridge. The next one, this is the second biggest thing that you want to tweak in your diet, and that's to get what I call bum glue out of your diet. Bum glue. Bum glue is white bread, white rice, white pasta. Do you remember when we were kids at school, we used to make glue out of flour and water? Yeah, we did. And we literally it stuck. It was glue. We used to make paper mache balloons in primary school, and we stuck all newspaper with this glue on it, and it set like cement. And nowadays we'll go and put in some sugar and any other things, like sugar and an egg and that, and we turn it into what we think is a cake. The problem is it's so bad, it's glue. And the place that it glues, it sticks, is the walls of your bowel. Your bowel's job is to reabsorb any last liquids before it goes out of its way. So if you're reabsorbing, you've got glue stuck there, literally it's called bowel plaque. I call it bum glue. But if we've got bum glue there, we absolutely are reabsorbing toxins. And so many people who get skin conditions, toxins can't come out through your poos and pees, that come out of your skin, or headaches. There's so many things that are happening just because people are having refined and processed white bread, white rice, white pasta. Stop it. Brown bread, brown rice, brown pasta. Bring the fiber in and help the body work properly. That's a simple tweak that will make a difference. Remember, I talked about diabetes, type 2 diabetes. Get the white stuff out of your diet, really seriously. It spikes your insulin. You'll have energy for half an hour to an hour, and then it's going to drop you. Your body will overreact to it. The other thing is they're rich in phytates. Phytates latch onto water-soluble nutrients and you pee them out. Have your healthy meat and salad on a white bread sandwich. And by the way, grain breads, read the packet because so many grain breads. Oh, I'm having a 9-grain bread, Jen. Yeah, well, read the packet because so often the very first ingredient is wheat. It's still in a white base. It'll still stick in your bum. And if anything, it's more dangerous because those literally, you're going to have little seeds and things embed there, which can upset diverticulitis and things like that. So keep it simple. Stone ground wholemeal. If you want to really want the baseline, stone ground wholemeal or a good dark rye kind of bread is a place to start. So, is there lots more to nutrition? Yes, but that's the place to start. All right, let's keep going. The next step to sanity is to move your body. We need to move our body in some way every day, and we absolutely need to be doing more than just a walk around the block. Yes, 10 minutes a day. It's interesting. When I did my research, I found that 86% of people said they would exercise every day. The reality is that only 22% really did. And the reason was they said, well, 71% of them said they were too busy to exercise every day. Research shows even if you get out at lunchtime and do a 10-minute walk, a 10-minute walk, get outside, go around the block, that counts. We also want to do weight-bearing exercise. And so whether you are going to go and do the gym thing or even simple things, sitting at your desk, sit at your desk. You've got a water bottle, grab it right now. Or if you're sitting in the car driving, keep one hand on the wheel, grab it, and just do really slow, purposeful arm curls. It all counts. When you're sitting on a toilet, where you go to sit on the toilet and stand up, if this is called functional fitness, but even every time you go to the toilet, think I'm doing a squat. So when you're doing a squat, you purposefully sit down, your butt goes out, down you go. When you stand up, both heels are firmly planted on the ground and you push up with your quads. Don't just kind of climb up or plop yourself down. It's a simple way to bring more weight-bearing exercise. You're using your own body weight. If a complete exercise is push-ups, do wall push-ups. If you're at work and you're low in energy, what I know is the way that we get energy is to use energy. So if it's 3 in the afternoon, you're running low in energy, do 10 wall push-ups for real, slow and purposeful. It all counts. We need to move our body in some way every day. That's it. And as we age, even more important. All right. The fourth step to sanity is to play more. Oh my gosh. Our adrenal glands are recharged with good food, good rest, and good play. And what I find is that people, when they've been off track, They go, okay, I'm going to eat clean. I'm going to go to bed early. I'm going to exercise more. And the thing they forget to do is play. Play. So when I surveyed the busy corporates that I did, I found that there was four kind of main areas where we could just make a start on this. Now, 1% of your day is 15 minutes. Surely you can spend 1% of your day, 1% of your day doing something just for you. That's 15 minutes. 15 minutes. So we need 15 minutes a day just to meditate and be still. Meditate and be still. Now, when I surf at sunrise because the moment the sun hits a horizon, it kisses the horizon. I swear it is better than any meditation I'll ever do. It's amazing. It's worth me getting out of bed early to do it. It's my sanity for the day. I also do chanting. I do moving, walking meditations. I've done that for decades. It's important. We need to keep educating ourselves, 15 minutes a day to educate ourselves. But this is not work stuff. So this is me learning Spanish. This is me learning to play ukulele. Do something that you can learn that's in a playful way. Important. It helps to recharge our adrenals. We want 15 minutes a day to play with yourself. Now, that's whatever you want it to be. But the bottom line is, if you've got kids or a cat, you're probably going to get 15 1-minute blocks. I've got a new puppy, same thing. It's like every time you shut the door, they're there going, "Hey, mom, 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 mom." It's like, oh, come on, just give me a little bit of peace. We need it. I know it's worth my sanity to end the day with a bath versus a shower for that little bit of extra peace. How well do you think I sleep at night when I do that compared to just having a quick shower and crawling into bed? Come from a place of prevention. That's what biohacking is. Come from a place of prevention. It's naturopathic thinking. We also need 15 minutes a day to play with someone that we care about. Now, how long since you have truly looked your partner or your kids, someone you care about in the eye and gone, "Hey," and just looked at them and had a chat? It's like people don't nowadays. They go, yeah, Jen, it's good, family's around at night. Yeah, but you're not present. You're not present. How do you feel when you can tell someone is really listening to you? Like you feel pretty damn lit up. Problem is, people don't listen. They don't. They're not present. They're there. They're on their phones or they're doing something else. What if you actually, when you went home tonight, just looked your partner in the eye and said, "Hey, how you doing?" Now you're probably going to freak them out because you haven't looked them in the eye for so long, and it's not a staring contest. And don't go home and look at your watch and say, "Jen said I have to do this for 15 minutes." That would be really weird. But just start. And if it's 15 1-minute blocks, that when you're talking to anyone, stop, be present, put your phone away, put your phone away, put it in your pocket, put it on your desk, put it somewhere. Be present. That stuff lights up our adrenal glands. We need to be feel, we need to feel heard. We also need to be needed. You know how good you feel when someone lets you help them. So stop being selfish and be present with other people. It's important. It's a big step that people miss. It's why it's in the book. Okay, the next one, the next step to sanity is a big one. It's the get a life. The step five is about we have to get a life. And that's because in Chinese medicine, we say you're born with a certain amount of qi, a certain amount of life force. And when you run out of qi, you die. And every day we're spending a bit of qi, putting a bit back in. We're meant to put it back in with great quality sleep. Doing broken sleep between 2 and 4 a.m. tells us your cortisol's too high. You're not going to bank it properly. And when we run out of qi, we die. And that's, there's this thing called general adaptation syndrome. And for me, my body was giving me every hint I was off track, but I wasn't listening. I found this definition of what stress was by a guy by the name of Lazarus, and I love it. It's my favorite. And so he says that stress is when the demands exceed the personal and social resources the individual is able to mobilize to adapt to the conditions. Oh, yeah. That's it. Stress is actually good for us. Too much stress consistently is not good for us. It's the kids going, "Mum, mum, 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 mum." It's too many bloody emails at work. It's the traffic commuting. It's just life. When we don't get that ability to recharge the way our adrenal glands need, We are in trouble. And so your adrenal glands, I'll just go here first. Your adrenal glands are little caps that sit on top of the kidneys. And it's where you produce your stress hormones and your boy and girl hormones. So everything from adrenaline and cortisol, et cetera, through to, estrogen and progesterone and testosterone. And your adrenals actually tell your thyroid what to do. Got low thyroid? It's usually because you've been burning out. Or reproductive system, having a crappy menopause, no use just taking HRT when your adrenals are tired. They're meant to still produce progesterone, but at a much lower level when you reach that time. So the adrenals are the core of your being. They are. And initially, when you're stressing out, they actually physically get bigger and they pump out of here's a few more hormones and off you go. Here's a bit more energy. That's okay. Stage two, they go, oh, I can't get any bigger, but here. Here's a bit more energy. And this is the classic. If you ever go on holidays, and day one of your holiday, you catch a cold or something, you get sick. That's the textbook. It's like your adrenals, while they have to cope, they do. And then they fall in a heap as soon as you give them a moment to take a breather. Ever done that? Ever gone on holidays and got sick day one? That's just tired adrenal glands. You eventually get to stage three where they go, you're done. I got nothing else to give you, and you fall in a heap. And that's where I was at 26. I worked and played way too hard working in the pharmacy industry back in my 20s. I paid the price. However, I was able to tap into some great knowledge by a naturopath, get my body back on track. And I've lived that way purposefully, mindfully for the last 30 odd years. And it's why I teach what I do, because we don't need to go down that hole. And sadly, more people are there than when I burned out back in my 20s. So it's big. So that's how do we get the adrenals out of survival mode? Well, we use adaptogens. Adaptogens are a class of herbs. Now, I've done so many podcasts on adaptogens and things about the adrenals, but that you can just go and check it out. Go to my podcast, Healthy Life Hacks, and search adrenals, and you'll find so much information. There's so many, even from number one, where I talk about sleep and adrenal glands. And so our adrenals need between 7 and 9 hours sleep a night to recharge. They do. And broken sleep at night, particularly between 2 and 4 a.m., just tells us that your cortisol is too high. Okay. Cortisol, when you wake in the morning, it's meant to be 100%. That's what gives you your energy to get out of bed, go to sleep at night. It's meant to be 10% of what it was. But every time we do a little stress through the day, it spikes. We get to the end of the day, it's too high. We go to bed. Excuse me. We go to bed. Between 2 and 4, it's trying to do its replenishing thing and it goes, I can't, it's out of balance. So it doesn't. And then the next morning, you wake up when you find, you've gone back to sleep, you wake up and you go, oh, I'm a bit tired today. Well, you're a bit tired because your adrenals didn't recharge properly at night. How well do you deal with stress during the day? You don't. You don't. And so what do? We're on this perpetual stress loop and we have to break it. Sleep is my biggest not negotiable in life. And I've talked about it. That's why it's number one podcast out of my podcast, because it's the most important thing we do all day is sleep. And it's a ticket to healthy adrenals or not. So what do? We can take adaptogens. I've taken adaptogen herbs for the last 30 odd years. Adaptogens are what helped me to get out of a hole that long ago. And it's how I've come from place of prevention. So the biggest thing that I'm seeing people go off track with, because nowadays in the last like 3 years, 3 or 4 years, adaptogens have become trendy. So now people are doing like ashwagandha gummies, or they're taking a single adaptogen herb. We're many body systems. We're not one body system, and you can't take just one adaptogen. It doesn't work like that. We need to be able to access or be able to replenish all the body systems. And so naturopaths only prescribe adaptogens in synergy with each other. We don't do one herb. If you want a link to the adaptogen tonic that I take, and I've taken this one for the last 14 years, it's great. It's a liquid tonic, good old-fashioned gutsy tonic. It's got digestive enzymes, everything in it. Track me down on Instagram or the easiest way to get me is Instagram or Facebook, and send me a personal message. And I will absolutely send you the link. Depending which country you are in the world, I'll send you the right link. So track me down. Happy to share that information. I don't not obliged not obliged to try it, but I'll let you know what I take. So we've got many, many, many different adaptogens. And in the aromatherapy world, because I'm an aromatherapist as well, I designed my Sanity Saver essential oil blend, and you can get that on my website. But I designed that for my go fastness. I go so fast and I just need to stay grounded and have my body to be able to keep up with me. Two of the main ingredients, vetiver essential oil and geranium, bourbon geranium, are essential in that blend to help keep me, in balance. So whether into herbs or aromatherapy or just want to at least give them a go, chuck me a message. Happy to help. Okay, so step six is about da, 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 doing it now. It's interesting. One area, a big area, and I used to do it too, that we go off track and tax our adrenals is that we procrastinate. And what I know is that we only procrastinate on the stuff that we don't want to do. The stuff we want to do, like right now, if the surf was pumping, I'd be there. I'd be there and be leaving this podcast to record later. It's human nature. We only procrastinate on the stuff we don't want to do. So I learned when I was in the army, I was 17, I joined the Australian Army, and I learned that discipline was just doing the opposite of what I felt like doing. Discipline was just the opposite of doing what I felt like doing. Lucky today, the surf is crappy right now. Otherwise, I might be there, but I wouldn't because I know to fit my schedule for putting out podcasts, I need to record this today. And so the opposite is, imagine it was a gorgeously sunny day. I'd say to myself, well, I want to go for a surf. However, I also know I need to get this podcast recorded to be able to fit my schedule. And so I know going for a surf would be short-term fun, long-term stress, because I know this would upset the schedule, versus having the discipline, the self-discipline to sit, record the podcast, and then go for a surf. Even if I got to go for a shorter surf, a half an hour versus an hour or something, it would still count. So I tap into my discipline. It doesn't matter what it is, whether it's work stuff or housework or gardening, anything. I just think, like the classic is people getting out of bloody bed in the morning. You think, oh, I'm going to get up tomorrow morning at whatever time, and the alarm clock goes off, and you go, no, I won't. I hit the alarm, you hit the snooze button. Well, that's not going to help. It's not going to help because what happens is you have one, two, or three snooze buttons or something. You eventually get your bum out of bed, you're running late, and you give yourself a hard time. Remember that I said that negative emotions like guilt are more taxing on your body than just doing the thing in the first place. So, self-discipline, if you land in bed and it's a shitty, cold, rainy day, you told yourself you're going to go for a walk tomorrow morning. The self-discipline is to take a breath and go, it's raining outside, I'm not going to go for a walk. However, I'm going to get up now. And I'm going to do a simple workout. Jen talked about doing wall push-ups and some arm curls with a water bottle. I'm going to move my body in some way today. How will you feel after doing that versus laying in bed and hitting the snooze button and feeling guilty? It's worlds apart. And that's why I talk about, coming from a place of prevention. Set yourself up for success and just know that self-discipline is actually easy. It's just doing the complete opposite of what you feel like doing. Oh, I know. Is that crazy? Anyway, the last step to sanity. The last step to sanity. And like I said, there's more than seven steps to sanity, but the last step to sanity is to actually chill out. So when I surveyed my busy corporate people, I found that only 6% of people thought they were getting life right. 6%. That's pretty damn scary. That's pretty damn scary that they thought they were struggling and had no clue where to start. And generally, it was because they thought, I just don't know where to start. It's all why I wrote this book. These are the core basics. Start here. Don't even try and do them all at once. Just do one thing and really cement it in this week. And then build on that. Celebrate the little wins. Keep moving forward. That's how you'll get longevity in anything. But we need to chill out. We need to chill out. And so some simple ways to be able to chill out. Obviously, treasure your sleep. That's one. Non-sleep deep rest is showing in more and more and more studies to be so beneficial. So non-sleep deep rest comes from things like meditation. It comes from things like the relaxation you do after a yoga session. It's about not being asleep. It's being in that restful state, not reading a book and doing stuff, just seriously being, whether it's a guided visualization, yoga nidras, shavasanas, those kind of things that help us replenish. Other ways are just with our breath. I love that breathing has gotten so much exposure. Step one to sanity was to remember to breathe. The body doesn't know the difference between excitement and fear, apart from the way we breathe. It is our body. If we're stressed, we're breathing short and shallow. We're tense. all that kind of stuff. Versus if we're really excited, the adrenals are working the same way. The only difference is how you breathe. You breathe deeper and more peacefully, and your body doesn't go into fight and flight. It stays calm. So our breath is the key to everything. So there's so many free kind of breath things you can just do online nowadays. Really important to mindfully. And if you get a chance, read the book Breath by Breath Breathe by James Nestor. Amazing, super cool book. Takes you through all the different benefits of mouth breathing versus, sorry, nose breathing versus mouth breathing. Lots of cool exercises. And while I think of it, if you are really, you're in the depths of stress at work, the way you can chill the vagus nerve, which has been activated the fastest, is to take a big sniff and then top it up with another little bit and then breathe out twice as long on the way out. And I talked about this in the last podcast where I talked about breaking the stress loop. So it's just like, and then breathe out through your mouth twice as long. And it just takes that alarm state off the vagus nerve. From an aromatherapy point of view, any of your floral and citrus essential oils are most beneficial. I created my chill out blend for exactly that kind of time, just to be able to just cruise. And it's got combination of, essentials like jasmine, the limes, the mandarins. It's sweet and relaxing and heart nurturing at the same time. So if you're into aromatherapy, that's a beauty. So I created a plain more essential oil blend because I found in the workplace so many people were just, and in life, were just not having fun. Now, the oil, I just need to say, does not turn you into a giggling idiot. That's not what it's about. But it contains essential oils like Mei Chang, which is also known as Lutzia, smells like lemon sherbet lollies, and it's combined with other essential oils, the citrus oils that help keep our mood light. And Lutzia or Mei Chang, it's a great heart kind of tonic, cardiac tonic. It's how we use it in clinic. And so imagine it's an oil that's emotionally, mentally uplifting, but at the same time keeps your heart calm. Really cool for workplaces and stuff. Tastes, smells like lemon sherbet lollies, and it's an easy essential oil to have in a diffuser in the workplace or around you that will help. So you can go to my website, jenniferjeffries.com, to check that out. And that's the core basics on the 7 steps to sanity. That's the express version. Like I said right at the start, there's more than 7 steps to sanity. And sanity I just use as a word for work-life balance. But when I wrote the book 20-odd years ago, people were abusing the word work-life balance, and they sure as hell were not doing anything work-life balance-wise. And I wanted another word. And I thought, well, I get my peace and sanity when I am in balance. That's why I called the book that. So go to the show notes. You can check out some more of this. Remember, you can also download the podcast. You can also go and download that free ebook for the whole Feed Your Body chapter. Go and do that. And just start. The secret to success in anything is to start. And like I said in the very last step, the 7 steps, the seventh step is to chill out, because I found only 6% of people thought that they were in balance, and the bottom line was they didn't know where to start to get into balance. So these are the core basics that I did to get myself out of a hole decades ago, and how I've lived from a place of prevention. I've biohacked my life for the last 3-odd decades to stay strong, fit, and healthy. And I am, I'm bloody 62, and I wish people had the energy, the vitality, that juiciness for life that I have, because it's meant to be. I get sick of seeing messages from people saying, "Oh, Jen, I know I just feel like this because it's my age." Well, that's bullshit. I absolutely call bullshit on that. We can age strong, fit, and healthy. We just need to set a baseline. Any naturopath in the first month, we set a baseline, and then that shows us what's really going on, and then we can build on that success. So if you want to talk about resets or anything, again, track me down through Instagram or Facebook, send me a message, or email me, jennifer@jenniferjeffries.com. I'd love to be able to see how I can be of help. I'm not in clinic nowadays, so I can't do everything, but I know I can help do the core basics and get you back into balance. And this book is exactly what I did to get me started. So if you're thinking, "I don't know where to start," get the book, start there, and or listen to this again, go to the show notes, all those things. See ya. See ya. I want to thank you for being here today. If you enjoyed my podcast, please let me know by leaving a review on Apple Podcast.
Every month, I draw one lucky person who leaves a review, have a free 1 hour consultation with me. Be sure to subscribe to the show wherever you're tuning in from so that you always catch the next episode. I welcome your emails and you can write to me at podcast@healthylifehacks.com.au. Until next time, remember, when it comes to life, live it, love it, and get on with it.